So we are continuing now this Bhagavat Saptaha program. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of God. Those who attended the first program on Monday, you learned the question that was posed by the sages of Naimisharanya, headed by Shaunaka Rishi, which they posed to Suta Goswami. 6 questions, and the last question was the most important. Since the age of Kali, the current age, is the age of quarrel, hypocrisy, confusion, all bad things, where will the people of Kali Yuga go for shelter? And Suta Goswami explained in the 3rd chapter that the people in the age of Kali will find solace, shelter and light in Srimad Bhagavatam. So we've already gone through a summary of 1st canto, 2nd canto, 3rd canto, 4th canto, 5th canto, 6th canto. Tonight we will cover cantos 7 and 8. First, I will read an invocation. This invocation is a conversation which took place 500 years ago between Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Prakashananda Saraswati. And Lord Chaitanya was explaining how it is important for those who want to advance in spiritual life to study Srimad Bhagavatam. So here is what Lord Chaitanya said at that time. The meaning of the Vedanta Sutra is very grave because its author, Vyasadeva, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. The purport of the Vedanta Sutra is very difficult for an ordinary person to understand, but Vyasadeva, out of His causeless mercy, has personally explained its meaning through Srimad Bhagavatam. So if the Vedanta Sutra is explained by Vyasadeva Himself, who has written it, its original meaning can be understood by the people in general. Also, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the meaning of the sound vibration Omkar, everybody say, is present in the Gayatri Mantra. And the same is elaborately explained in the original 4 shlokas of Srimad Bhagavatam, known as Chatu Shloki. Whatever was spoken by Lord Narayan to Lord Brahma in those 4 verses of Srimad Bhagavatam was later explained to Narada by Lord Brahma. And whatever Lord Brahma told Narada Muni was again explained by Narada to Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva later considered these instructions in his mind. Vyasadeva considered that whatever he had received from Narada Muni as an explanation of Omkar, everybody say, he would elaborately explain in his book, Srimad Bhagavatam, as a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. Thus, Vyasadeva collected whatever Vedic conclusions are in the 4 Vedas and 108 Upanishads and place them in the Vedanta Sutra. In the Vedanta Sutra, the purport of all Vedic knowledge is explained, and in Srimad Bhagavatam, the same purport is explained in 18,000 verses. Therefore, it is to be concluded that the Vedanta Sutra is explained vividly in Srimad Bhagavatam. Also, what is explained in the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam has the same purport as what is explained in 108 Upanishads. So, there is a mood that is required if you want to actually become absorbed in this katha. That mood is presented by this mantra. If you know this, please, you can chant with me. Trinadapi sunichena tarar iva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. I must consider myself meek and humble. I must tolerate all kinds of dualities. I must offer respects to all living entities, and I shall not worry about what people think about me. I am simply nothing more, nothing less than the insignificant servant of Krishna. So the mood to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, number one, humility. Number two, rapt attention. Don't let yourself be drifting away. Try to stay focused. So we will begin by uttering the 12-syllable mantra. Please repeat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Of course, this Srimad Bhagavatam is given to us with the translation and commentary of my spiritual master, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, without whom we would not be here together today. We are here only because Srila Prabhupada brought Srimad Bhagavatam with him and established the International Society for Krishna Consciousness in the Western world. The seventh canto, Prabhupada entitles The Science of God. This is one of my favorite phrases. Science of God. Science means you follow a certain procedure, you get a predictable result. So there's a science of God. If you follow the science, number one, you will become godly, you will become holy, and eventually you will realize your individual, unique, personal relationship with God. That is why we follow this science of Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 7 has 15 chapters, which I have broken out into subsections, if you're following along on the sheets. So the first topic that is explained by Shukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit: the Supreme Lord is equal to everyone. We should never think that God is partial. God is like the sun. The sun distributes its rays everywhere. There is no discrimination on the part of the sun. There are those who take advantage of the sun, and there are those who refuse to take advantage of the sun. They keep themselves away. So God is the same way. God is available to everyone. The only thing is, some people take advantage and some ignore, avoid, and deny. So, that's the first topic. The Supreme Lord is equal to everyone. Reason being, everyone is His part and parcel. Everyone is the child of God. We have this expression in many religions, God the Father. That is a factual part of the science of God. So if God is the Father, we are all His children. And His mercy is available to all of His children. But He does not interfere with your free will. It is up to you and me to take the blessings from God or reject them. Then, the bulk of this seventh canto is the narration of the Nrisingha Leela. This Nrisingha Leela is actually a conversation between Narada Muni and Maharaj Yudhisthira. The occasion was Maharaj Yudhisthira performing the Rajasuya sacrifice, which we will talk about on Saturday when we go to Om's house. Om, raise your hand. So, all of you are invited tomorrow and Saturday to Om's house, because this Bhagavad Saptaha has sponsors. Our first sponsor, which we had Monday and Tuesday, Krishna Kumar Das. Let's give him a Hari Bol. Our second and main sponsor is our good friend, Naveen Madhav Maharaj. Then our third sponsor, Om Chada and family. And then our final sponsor, Kamlesh Patel. There's a rumor going around that this is only the first. We will have many such in the months to come. All in favor, say Hari Bol. So, Maharaj Yudhisthira was performing the Rajasuya sacrifice, and at that Rajasuya sacrifice, there was a disturbance. The personality Shishupal, he did not like the idea that at this sacrifice, Krishna was selected to receive the first worship, the first honor. So this Shishupal was envious of Krishna from his birth. So at this time, when Yudhisthira's younger brother Sahadev stood in the assembly and said, in my opinion, the best person who should be worshipped first is Krishna. And everybody agreed except Shishupal. And Shishupal stood up and objected vehemently. And there was about to be a big ruckus in the holy assembly. So Krishna did not want there to be a bloodbath. So Krishna immediately took out his Sudarshan Chakra. And with his Sudarshan Chakra, cut off the head of Shishupal. But then something amazing, the Atma, the soul of Shishupal, like a meteor, shot out from his body and entered the body of Krishna. And everyone was amazed. So Yudhisthira turned to Narada and said, can you explain? What is this? So Narada said, yes. This is Shishupal's third time he was killed by Krishna. In his previous life, he was the great demon Ravan. And he was killed by Krishna's incarnation, Lord Ramachandra. Everybody say. And then previous to that, his first birth as a demon was Hiranyakashipu. So Yudhisthira wanted to hear the history of Hiranyakashipu. So Narada begins at the funeral ceremony of Hiranyakashipu's brother. Hiranyakashipu's brother was Hiranyaksha. And he was killed when he battled Lord Varaha. Everybody say. So when the Lord killed Varaha, at the funeral ceremony, Hiranyakashipu spoke very eloquently. And if you read this section in detail, you will be amazed at how this demon, Hiranyakashipu, knows the Vedic philosophy. He knows it so well, we would probably invite him to give class. That is how expert he was in presenting the basic philosophy of Bhagavad Gita. That the soul is eternal, that there is no need to lament, and the introductory concepts of Bhagavad Gita, Hiranyakashipu was explaining to the relatives who were lamenting the death of Hiranyaksha. But Hiranyakashipu was your classic politician. What he speaks, he doesn't believe. He just says what has to be said for the occasion, but really doesn't believe. Sounds like some politicians of the current day. We won't go there. So, after the funeral ceremony, Hiranyakashipu spoke and said, I am very angry at Lord Vishnu because he has given up his impartiality and has killed my brother, Hiranyaksha, who was so fond of sucking blood, as if that was a great quality. Because that's what demons do. They like to drink blood. So Hiranyakashipu said, I will avenge the death of my brother. So Hiranyakashipu went searching throughout the universe, looking for Lord Vishnu. But he couldn't find him. And Lord Vishnu was thinking, wherever I go, this rascal is going to be looking for me and harassing me. I don't got time for this. Where can I go where he'll not find me? And Lord Vishnu realized, there's only one place someone like Hiranyaksha won't look: in his own heart. He'll think that I must be outside. He has no clue that actually I'm inside him. So I will enter him because he will never look for me inside his heart. So when Hiranyakashipu inhaled, Lord Vishnu in an invisible body entered his nostril and hid himself in Hiranyakashipu's heart. Hiranyakashipu searched all over the universe far and wide, and he could not find Lord Vishnu. So Hiranyakashipu said, Lord Vishnu must have died because he's nowhere to be found. So Hiranyakashipu, for the time being, was satisfied. But he had that grudge. He had that animosity. So then Hiranyakashipu said, Lord Brahma, the creator, how has he achieved his position? He has achieved his position because of great penances and austerities. And I've been emphasizing what we learned the first night, what Narayan told Lord Brahma. The potential power is penance only. Whatever you want to achieve, materially or spiritually, you can only achieve it by penance and austerity. So Hiranyakashipu said, I want to usurp Lord Brahma. I want to be the chief person in the universe. I will do such penances and austerities nobody has ever performed. And in this way, I will conquer Lord Brahma. So Hiranyakashipu selected a certain place, and he stood in a posture with his hands stretched out, standing on the tips of his toes. If you've ever seen a ballerina, they're able to go on their toes. So he was on his toes, And he had his hands outstretched. And he stayed that way for many, many, many years. So many years, the flesh of his body was eaten by insects and ants and moths. And so all that remained was the skeleton, the bones. But Hiranyakashipu kept his life there just inside the skeleton. And in time, his whole body was covered by an anthill. But because he was performing severe penances and austerities, heat and fire was coming from his skull. And here is the origin of global warming. Yes, there is global warming. Here is the original global warming. Because the fire and heat coming from the skull of Hiranyakashipu was burning up the whole universe. The devatas, the demigods were feeling, just like this whole week, has it not been very, very hot? It's been so hot this week. So, in the heavenly planets, they were also feeling uncomfortable from the intense universal, not just global, universal warming. So the devatas went to Lord Brahma. And they said, Lord Brahma, we cannot tolerate this. This Hiranyakashipu, we are sure you know his intentions. Please satisfy him because we cannot tolerate this heat. So Lord Brahma agreed. And Lord Brahma, he has a carrier. Just like we came in our cars of metal and tin. So Lord Brahma, he has a swan. That is his vehicle. And he came to where Hiranyakashipu was. And he saw the fire emanating from his skull. Lord Brahma carries with him a water pot, Kamandalu. And in that Kamandalu is Ganga Jal, transcendental water. So just like here is this Achman cup. Lord Brahma sprinkled the anthill. And when he did, Hiranyakashipu came out of the anthill, but now his body is rejuvenated. He has a youthful body. He's invincible. He can even withstand Indra's thunderbolt weapon. He has the, talk about buff. He's super buff. His body now is, practically speaking, invincible. And Hiranyakashipu bows down fully to Lord Brahma and offers prayers. And Lord Brahma says, you have conquered me by your austerities. So, I want to know what is the benediction you want. So Hiranyakashipu says, I want the benediction that I can become immortal. And Brahma says, unfortunately, I cannot give you something I don't have. I myself am not immortal. So I cannot give you. So then Hiranyakashipu said, all right, then I do not want to die in the land, in the sky, in water. And Lord Brahma said, yes. Neither do I want to die in the day or the night. Lord Brahma said, yes. I do not want to die by any creature created by you. And Lord Brahma said, I grant you that. And I do not want to die by any weapon. Lord Brahma said, granted. In this way, Hiranyakashipu thought he had an ironclad contract. He thought, I have now asked for every conceivable way I might die, and Lord Brahma has given me the benediction, Practically speaking, I'm immortal. So now Hiranyakashipu, he now is the most powerful man in the whole universe. And he kicks Indra out of the kingdom of heaven and takes over Indra's throne. And now everyone in the universe has to kowtow and do whatever Hiranyakashipu says. And Hiranyakashipu is a very bad taskmaster. He chastises everyone. And he berates them. And he wants everyone to simply worship him. He wants everything to be centered around him. He wants to imitate the position of God. He thinks everything should be for my satisfaction. And practically speaking, everyone in the universe had to obey Hiranyakashipu. So when this was going on, the demigods who have now lost their positions, they go to Lord Vishnu. Now, everybody chant the Maha Mantra.